You might like to open your Bible to Jeremiah and chapter 32. And in our exercise of looking at the book of Jeremiah, God has given it to us to have the understanding of what to do when everything falls apart and you try to keep it, but it isn't meant to stay. And Jerusalem is in the process of being ruined and burned down by Nebuchadnezzar. So, and Jeremiah is just there, as we've shared all those different things, in the light of chapter 31. And 32. Now, having said that, God is giving the in writing an encouragement to the believing heart, Jeremiah and Ezekiel and each one of them. And therefore, as we looked at in chapter 32, God is going to go and have an awesome future. He has a wonderful future for Israel. And that is their hope and anticipation, their expectation for that future. It's an awesome future. And we share together in verse 39, I will give them one heart and one way, that they may fear me forever, for the good of them and of their children after them. Now, all of that truth is there. And in the future. So in the kingdom to come after the tribulation, they're going to have one heart. We spent time last time to look at one heart. No, not one heart. That Israel could have had one heart, but they didn't. In the future, they will. So we reminded ourselves of what the future is going to be like for them, because it was missing for them in their time on earth before that. And then we moved it, hopefully a little bit, in our direction, that we, representing the Lord Jesus Christ, represent the truth of one heart, the one heart that will be with Israel, is to be represented by the believers in the church, in his body. How many hearts? One. We are of one, a oneness, a unique, awesome oneness with God's awesome person, in the person of the Lord, of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oneness. So I got that. Now, we don't want it so. It's going to be one heart. In verse 39, and one way, the whole nation, one way. Now, that's going to be awesome, one way. Not 10 different ways, no idolatry, one way. Israel had opportunity to be one way. They just never enjoyed being one way. So I want to go back and exercise, what did Israel fail to do that's going to happen in the kingdom when it's one way? And then where do we fit in? Because we represent Christ to the Jew and to the Gentile of one way, of one heart. So when I read that, one way, one heart, I'd be able to talk to so-and-so, Jewish or somebody, and I'd be able to say, God is going to make that a wonderful truth, and he is presently demonstrating that truth in believers in his body, of which I am one of them. That's what I would say. Now, so therefore, exercise. Over if I can, please, to Jeremiah chapter 3. Jeremiah chapter 3, picking up, if I can, in verse 17. At that time, during the kingdom, at that time, they shall call Jerusalem the throne of the Lord, and all the nations shall be gathered unto it, to the name of the Lord, to Jerusalem. Neither shall they walk anymore after the imagination of their own heart. In those days the house of Judah shall walk with the house of Israel together, one way, and they shall all come together out of the land of the north to the land that I have given them for an inheritance unto your fathers. They're going to have one way. They don't have it now. All 12 tribes are going to be on the same way, on the same road, same direction, same goal, same purpose, etc. Having said that, Amos chapter 3. Amos is dealing with the 10 tribes in the north, remember? And in the light of that, Amos chapter 3, picking up, please, in verse 1. Hear this word that the Lord hath spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family which I brought up from the land of Egypt, saying, God save them all. You only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore I will punish you for all your iniquities. In other words, Israel was a chosen nation, Deuteronomy chapter 19, and they were privileged beyond all other nations. They abandoned their right and birthright to be children. They gave it up, and therefore they are to be punished, obviously, that the world might know that they disobeyed God. So therefore, when I come now to verse 3, can two walk together except they be agreed? You have to be on the same page, in the same direction. Otherwise, you can't walk together. You can't have the same way. You can't have the same heart unless you're both on the same page. And you've got to be in the same page or else you're two different directions. Therefore, they're going to have that in the kingdom, but they don't have it. What did they miss, and how did they miss it? Over, a little exercise, Genesis and chapter 3. Thank you. Genesis in chapter 3. And you will note, after Adam and Eve sinned, before Adam and Eve sinned, they had a unique relationship, a wonderful relationship with God, who created them in his image and likeness. And they enjoyed God, and God enjoyed them. They were together. One heart, as it were, one way. What did they do? They enjoyed, here we are looking one way, walking in one way. Every afternoon, if you can use that, if I may, chapter 3 and in verse 8. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And every afternoon, they took a walk with God. That's what they did. God and they walked together, if you can just understand that. God was always there. And they enjoyed God's wonderful person. God enjoyed them. They enjoyed God. Every day, they enjoyed God. They walked with them. Hang on. That's why you pick it up. Walk, 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 walk. Now, in the light of that, let me finish the verse. Verse 8, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the cool of the day, and Adam and Eve Adam and his wife hid themselves because they sinned, and they knew they were naked. Therefore, they hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. And again, that was pretty neat, to hide from God. I thought that was pretty good. God's going to take a walk, and we're all going to hide, okay? Everyone cover yourself with bushes, and he'll never know where you are. That was very good. And they knew that was a stupid thing, because they went out and exposed themselves. They said, what a dumb thing to try to hide. How do you hide from God? You don't. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, in the light of chapter 3, go and in the walking with God. Now, as we do that, so you catch it. Well, open if I can. Chapter 6. On your way, stop at chapter 5. On your way, turning the page. Chapter 5. And here's the days of Noah and there are lots and lots of people, but they aren't saved. But here's one of them, chapter 5, verse 24, or verse 23. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. The word take, to take for oneself. God took him home, just like that. He's there, everyone's there. Noah's there. The unsaved there, but the only one God's going to leave on earth when Noah's around is Noah. Everyone else is gone. God takes Enoch out of the way. Out of the way, God takes him home. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, chapter 6, and you remember in verse 8, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. They walked. Walking. What does God want? A unique fellowship to enjoy God, and you enjoy God on your journey on earth. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, over if I can, chapter 17. And we'd have Abraham. And you'll pick it up in verse 1. And when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. What are we doing? Walk before me in my presence, in front of me, in my eyes, and be thou perfect, the word perfect, complete. I want you to be whole, complete, looking to me. I'm going to look to you, whole and complete. I'm going to be your God, and your God in my fullness, in his fullness, God is. And Abraham is to enjoy in his fullness, perfect God. Walk before me, a wonderful, unique oneness, fellowship. And they're going to walk together, and God's going to go and use them. And use Abraham in a most wonderful way. And Abraham walks with God. That's what he does, in a most awesome, wonderful way. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, walking with God. Now, if you were there in the days of Noah, of course, he alone, Noah, was building the ark in God's wonderful working. Now, over if I can, in the light of that, chapter 6 again, back over there for a minute. And in chapter 6, just to tie it together, you will note the humanity. Apart from Noah, here's all the people, lots and lots and lots of people. Verse 5, God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. Verse 12. God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. All flesh had become corrupt. Now, So as you turn the pages of history, and know, remember when you end Deuteronomy, Moses makes it clear, 31 in that, chapter 31, makes it very clear that he said, you have not obeyed God from the heart. From the heart, outside, everything is you're doing what you're supposed to do. You don't get arrested, even though you want to rob the bank. But they can't arrest you because you aren't robbing the bank. You want to rob the bank, but you don't rob the bank. We're going to behave ourselves in the presence of God, but we aren't going to go, but we don't have a heart for it. We don't have a heart for it. Now, and therefore, you know, as they didn't within the days. Not, Moses is going to die, and he said, you're going to go from bad to worse. So when we come to Joshua, we have a little period, 7 years and a few more. And then we have, what do we have? Not very long. We find the book of Judges. And what do we find about humanity? God tries to control them with the different judges, try to give them some measure of safety and time to repent and fix things, but they don't. So when we come to the end of the book of Judges, chapter 21, you know, and every man did that which is right in his own eyes. That's what they do. That's what they do. They are walking with God. They are walking with God. They aren't doing that. They could be walking with God, but they don't want to. Noah does. Abraham does. Now, having said that, Isaiah 53. These putting that all together in one shot. Isaiah chapter 53. And speaking of our Lord's wonderful person going to the cross, Isaiah 53, speaking of Christ's death on the cross. And in Isaiah 53, picking up if I can, to say it easily, I'll read, I'll read verse 5, a little context. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All, why did you have to die? All, verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone did that which is right in their own eyes. We turned everyone to his own ways, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He bears the sin. We're all way off. We're on the wrong course without a heart. God had to die to save us. Otherwise, we'd never make it without any question. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, over if I can to back over to Exodus. Keeping in mind humanity. So that's why Israel is going to have to wait till the end of the tribulation before they have a new heart and a new way. They just aren't going to have it. So, back over to Exodus. Exodus chapter 16. Now, we looked at it so we could see Enoch and Noah and Abraham and Adam and Eve. They walked with God. But humans don't want to walk with God. So now, back to Israel. Israel, because God is going to give them a new heart and a wonderful one way. Exodus chapter 16, picking up if I can, in verse 4. Then said the Lord unto Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may put them to the test, whether they will walk in my law or not. I want to know if they're going to walk with me. So I'm going to give them, I'm going to give them everything, food, manna, what they need. I'm going to see if they're going to receive it properly and walk with me. Over now, if I can, chapter 33. Moses and the people going into the wilderness. And they don't want to go very far at all, or very long. They don't want to go without God. And God, you know, said, you go ahead and I'll send another angel. And Moses said, I don't want another angel. I want you, God. You have to lead us. Otherwise, we don't want to do it. So therefore, when you come to chapter 33, and if you want to, verse 13. Now therefore, I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now show me thy way, that I may know thee, purpose, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. God, you gotta go, you gotta show us the way, down to verse 16. For wherein shall it be known here that I and my people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. We're going to be special. We're going to enjoy being special. We're going to enjoy being a testimony. We're going to enjoy you, God, and God's going to enjoy them. And all the world, please take note. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, over to Deuteronomy. That's the beginning. Now we're going to go 40 years, turn the clock, 40 years in the wilderness, as it were. And as I can, Deuteronomy, and picking up, please, in verse 8. And you will note, I'll read in verse 1. Thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee, to prove, there's your little word, to test, to prove, to put on trial, to know. What do you want to know, God? What was in thine heart? You got no heart. I want to know where your heart is. We shared all that last time. Whether thou wouldst keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee, verse 33, and he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not. Neither did thy fathers know. They never had that. They had Egyptian food. That he might make thee know. What do they need to know? That man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Man lives by God's word, God's wonderful word. I'm going to walk with God in a way, in the way that God would have us go, we're going to walk with him. Therefore, in the way, now let's put that together. Deuteronomy chapter 5. And you remember, as we have many times, chapter 5, and picking up, if I can, in verse 29, just the beginning for time's sake. Oh, that there was such an, what's missing? Heart in them. They have no heart. They have no heart. Like, where's your heart? You don't have a heart. That they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. But we don't have a heart. So over to verse 31. But as for thee, stand thou here by me, and I will speak unto thee all the commandments and the statutes and the judgments, which thou shalt teach them, teach the children of Israel, purpose that they may do them, follow the words, the instruction, the information, that do them in the land which I give them to possess it. Ye shall observe to do, therefore, as the Lord your God hath commanded you. Ye shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. You shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God commanded you, that you may live, and that you may be well with you, and that you may prolong your days in the land which you shall possess. I want you to go and look and observe. I want you to go and look to me, and don't turn to the left and don't go to the right. I want you to go straight down the corridor of time and do so, and looking to me. And that's what I'm looking for. I want to know if you're going to walk with me, and I'm going to walk with you. I want to know if you're going to go my way or your way. Everyone did that which is right in his own eyes. I want to know you, your way or my way. Now, picking up verse 33, you shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God hath commanded you, that may be well with you, etc., all the days of your life to possess the land. Now, having said that, chapter 10. And in chapter 10, picking up in verse 12. And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require? What does God want from people, from Israel? Require of thee, but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. That's what he wants. You want to know what God's will is for your life? He wants you to know him, to walk in his ways, to love him, let him love you, to serve the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul. A wholehearted oneness. And now, like Abraham, walk before me and be wholehearted in what you do. Now, having said that, chapter 11, since you're right there. Chapter 11 again. And picking up, if I may, verse 22. And if ye shall diligently, 11:22, keep all these commandments which I command you to do them. What for? To love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to cleave or be glued unto him, a oneness with him. Verse 23. Then will the Lord drive out all these nations from before you, and you shall possess greater nations and mightier than yourselves. Wonderful, wonderful success. Journey. Verse 24. Every place whereon the soles of your feet shall tread shall be yours. From the wilderness unto Lebanon, unto the river, great river Euphrates, even unto the uttermost sea, Mediterranean, shall your coast be. And that's a big hunk of land. From Mediterranean, way over to the Euphrates River, Babylon. That's one big piece of property. They never took it, but that's theirs. It's their property. And every place that the sole of their foot shall tread, I've given them. In the piece of property, in my will. In my will, it's all yours. Outside of my will, remember, without doing that exercise in Deuteronomy, you take the piece, you take what I give you, it's yours. Don't try to take what isn't yours. You'll never get it. You'll never get it. You can't have it. You can only have what I am giving you. And I'm going to give you what? The best. I'm going to give you, how do we have the best God? Here's all the different gifts. And the gifts here and the gifts there. Where's the best? The best, my friend, isn't with the gift. It's with the giver of the gift. It's where he is. It's where the giver is. That's the gift. That's the greatest gift. Not what he can give you, but the giver who can give you any and everything. That's the best. You can't have better than that. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, and in the light of everything, over if I can, over to Joshua and chapter 1. And since we're looking at that right at the moment, Joshua chapter 1, you'll recall instructions to Joshua and to the people. And Joshua is told what he has to do. What we just read in Deuteronomy, it's confirmed to Moses, to Joshua, here, chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given you, as I said unto Moses. And then he goes from the Mediterranean over to the Euphrates, etc. I've given you all of that land, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful land. Now, in order to possess the land, my will, verse 7, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that the law which Moses, my servant commanded thee, turn not from it to the right hand or to the left. Remember, we just read that. Don't turn left or right in this case. Stay right on course. Why do you want to stay on course? That, the end of verse 7, thou mayest prosper wherever, whithersoever thou goest. That's why you stay in course. In my will, over here and over there, whatever part, wherever, in my will, outworking my will, it's my will, and you'll prosper. How can you not prosper? Be successful. Be wonderfully, wonderfully content and contented and successful and satisfied. How can you not be in the will of God? You have to be, no matter what, no matter, nothing, it has nothing to do with material, nothing to do with anything, except your wonderful walking with God, looking to God, walking by faith and not by sight, and enjoying God. And in doing that, you can live in a dugout or a teepee, whatever you want, you'll be fine. Or a castle. A castle is for nothing without your heart content and satisfied. $1 million is nothing without your heart and your heart and satisfaction. How many hamburgers can you buy after all? Now, so therefore, don't go to the left and don't go to the right. God's going to do a wonderful, wonderful thing. Now, to put that in the light of our time, to put that together a little bit, to exercise it, I'll go over with me, please, to Psalm David. Psalm 25. Psalm 25. And you will note, this is David. We're going to look at David to help us. David, remember, looked to God. And in the process of looking to the God, see if I have that. 2 Kings, I put it in. I may not put it in. Okay. Anyway, Josiah, in his wonderful, wonderful ministry as a young boy. Josiah was told. He was blessed, and God told, before he even started being a king, as a little boy, a king, God said, I'm going to bless the man. Why are you going to bless Josiah? Because of all the kings in Judah, of all the southern kings, he stands out as the best king, apart from David. Because he started out trusting God, he kept trusting God, and he ends trusting God. A king, like David, his father. Now we're looking at David, his father. What did Josiah do that was like his father? He walked with God. If you read in Josiah, that in Kings, 2 Kings. He turned not to the left, and he turned not to the right. He went straight down the corridor. Now, in the light of that, and Josiah was such a good king. Now, if I can, chapter 25, and here's David. And what do we know? Well, picking up, please, in verse 4. Show me thy ways, O Lord, and teach me thy paths. Good desire, good prayer request. God, show me your way. I want to go your way. You're going to make one way, your way. Oh, teach me thy paths. Sliding down, if I can, verse 8. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will he teach sinners in the way. God's going to help everyone. Remember Isaiah 53:6? Everyone turn everyone to their own way. God's going to help them. Turn around. Repent. Going to help them. Verse 8. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will he teach sinners in the way. Verse 9. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. So we got to have the right heart attitude, and it's our heart. We want, that's what David wanted. He wanted God's heart. He wanted to satisfy and know God's heart. So David is going to go and be taught, and he wants to be taught in God's way, in God's way. Sliding over, if I can, to verse 12. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. And we've shared that many times over the years. God teaches each one differently. Each person's differently. Everything's different about us. Mostly. We're humans and got everything else in common. But in the commonness, it's very confusing and complex. And all of us are so confused and complex that we're different in many ways. How's that? So, God's going to teach in the way he should choose. So, the way God teaches over here is one way. And God may teach the same truth, different way over here. God's trying to get you in one direction to be like him. He's not trying to have 10 different things. He got one heart, one way, one God looking. He has one purpose. Doesn't have 15 of them. So, that's what he has in mind. So whatever he's doing, it's going to come out the way it's supposed to. Now, therefore, he will teach in the way that he will choose. Verse 14, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. He will show them his covenant. Mine eyes are ever toward the Lord. Verse 15, he shall pluck my feet out of the net. So as I'm walking, looking to God, there's all kinds of minefields, explosives and everything, all over the place, traps and snares and everything, all there. But I'd be busy, scared to walk down the corridor of time because there's so many things that are fearsome or questionable, or I don't know if it'll work. What happens if, but? No, I have to be looking to God because I have to go. I can't spot everything. I don't know everything. God does. I have to stay in the way of God, in the will of God, for the glory of God as I go down the corridor. So I'm looking to God, and he'll pluck my feet. It doesn't mean I won't fall. It doesn't mean I won't something happen. It can. But God is going to keep me on the path. No matter what trick is there, I'm going to stay in that path, and I'm going down that path. And to tie that way you think of it, chapter 31. And you will see it in chapter 31, again, David, verse 4. Pull me out of the net that they have privily They're hidden. It's hidden for me. It's a snare. Privily, they have laid privily for me, for thou art my strength. I'm looking to God. And David, is that how you got there? That's how I got there. That's why Josiah was such a popular fellow with God in a good way, because Josiah was trying to look to God in his little, in his simple way, trying to look to God. So here's David. David doing a wonderful thing. Chapter 32. And in chapter 32, here's David again, and older this time, having a good journey through time. Picking up, please, chapter 32. Oh, sliding down to verse 6. For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. You got an opportunity to fix things, do it. Talk to God, do it. You put it off, you may not have that time again. For lots of reasons. May not happen again. Verse 6. For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto thee. Thou, why is that true, David? What is the encouragement, assurance? That thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Remember, the net is there, the traps are there. You're trying to go stay in the will of God, in the way, with one heart. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass to be surrounding me with songs of deliverance. It's going to do songs. I'm going to watch how God works out. Angels watching. Angels watching. They're doing. And God works out each thing. And you go down the corridor, minefields, nets, troubles. But you just keep going, and God keeps you going. And God surrounds you with his wonderful saving grace to keep you. Therefore, verse 8, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way, W-A-Y, a new way, one way. I shall instruct thee, teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Can't ask better. Only God says, please don't be as a horse or as a mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto me. Don't be like that. If you make it all bad, God, and then I'll turn and pray. I'll open my Bible then. I'll pray then. God said, why do you do that? Why do you do that? Why couldn't you just do it? See, you got to have a heart. You got to have a heart. Okay, now, therefore, verse 10, many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass, there's your same word as in verse 7, surround you. The mercy shall compass you about, surround you. God's saving grace and God's mercy surround you. What more do you want? I said, I can't see it. I can't feel it. I can't touch it. I can't smell it. But it's there. It's just there. Wow. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. And since we did that much, one more shot then. Here's David, older. David said, I hope you followed my little journey. And David said, let me tell you how it all works out. Psalm 23. Psalm 23. God, how are you going to lead us? The Lord is my shepherd. Shepherd takes care of the sheep, John chapter 10, the good shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. Oh, that's good. He restoreth my soul, keeps me fresh. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. Why? For his name's sake. So God leadeth me. Walk with God. They took a walk with God. It's always the right way. The right way, the right time, the right everything. You're in the will of God, looking for the outworking of it in a most wonderful way. And therefore, isn't it a picnic? Wrong. Next verse. Yea, though I walk through the valley, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, deep darkness. See, it's right. It's the right path. You're in the world. Noah's in the world. Abraham's in the world. All in the world. What do you want? They aren't home. God, can you keep it? The net, the traps, the tricks, the enemy, the problems, they're there. You got an old nature to boot. So therefore, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And why not? For thou art with me, and thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And might as well finish the wonderful thing. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my friends. I know. Some of you haven't. If it's in your Bible, I'd suggest you check your Bible. In the presence of, I will walk through the valley, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. God's right there. God said I'm there. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Not your friends. You're in a world, a hostile world. They want you to starve to death and be put you in a prison. Get rid of you. They want to get rid of our Lord. They did. Well, so they thought. Anyway, now, in the light of that, God, what are you going to do? God anointeth my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I've got a journey. I'm on my way on the journey. I'm looking for God. Israel doesn't have. They have to wait till the millennium. And then they'll wake up to all that they missed. They could have had it, like David, but they didn't. And here we are to be examples. How are we examples? John 14:6. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one in any way, shape, or form comes to the Father except through me. I am the way. What am I showing the Jew and the Gentile as a believer? What am I to be doing? I have one heart for God, and I am in his way. He is my way. I am to walk with him in the way. He is my way. We're in the presence of the way right now. When you get in your car, you're in the presence of the way. And you move and you come and you go and you do in the way, looking to God. Please, God, how far are you away, God? I'm not. Okay. So I'm looking to God, and as I go down the corridor of time, I'm able to go down and looking, and God help us as we go, and we're going to get to the end. God's going to get us there. Only don't be as a horse or a mule. Don't be like that. And I hope you learn a little lesson from Israel. What I'm going to do in the future for them, I have already done for you. And it isn't to be done. It is done. It's finished. Isn't it? God already has the plan. He's already doing what he's doing. And here we're able to sit in his presence and enjoy God and be reminded as we go our ways to eat and drink, coming and going, sleep, work, home, school. We do whatever. Easy things, hard things. Yeah. But we're in the way. We're in the way, on the way, till we finish the way.